I really hope Utahns understand how much the decisions that are made up here impact their daily lives. This is a place where they can have a big influence as constituents and citizens of the state.
Each year, the House Majority Caucus comes together to identify the most important policy challenges facing our state. The blueprint for the 2023 general legislative session, entitled The Utah Way Together, was recently released to the public. This plan outlines the Majority Caucus's top policy priorities and how the Utah House plans to address some of the current challenges facing our state. Here today to talk about these priorities for the upcoming session is Utah House Speaker Brad Wilson. Speaker, thanks so much for taking the time today.
It's great to be with you, Edward. Thanks for having me.
So, Speaker, the House Majority recently announced their key policy priorities for the upcoming legislative session. Could you give us a brief overview of what some of those policy priorities are and why they matter to the state?
Yeah, well, it's really great to be with you. And let me just say, even before we dive in here, I think it's a really important time for the state of Utah. We have been the fastest growing state in the country for a decade. We're going to have record revenue growth in the state because of that. We've got a surplus. We are coming out of the pandemic and the economy's in this interesting spot. And there are some legislative sessions, I believe, where the decisions last longer and maybe are more consequential. I believe this is going to be one of those sessions. I've been around here a while and I can sense that. And I just think it's important that we kind of put that in perspective as we make some of these big, hopefully really generational decisions. So what happens every year that the Majority Caucus in the House gets together and thinks about policy priorities is we start working with members and committee chairs about 10 months before the session starts to really understand kind of what they're hearing from across the state. What are their constituents telling them? What are the issues they're seeing come up? And that helps create a framework for us and informs us as to what we need to be focusing on to help move the needle for the state and keep us just this amazing place that we are. And so that process has led us to where we are today. And we have three categories or pillars that we've identified through that process. The first is stewardship for our water and our energy and our land. The second category or pillar that we have is affordability, housing affordability, keeping government overreach out of our lives, and then lastly, keeping our tax bill smaller, and how do we help people afford living here with a lower tax bill? And then the last pillar is investment. How does the state legislature and the state think about transportation investment and infrastructure? And our most important resource in this state is our children. How do we invest in our children's future? So those three categories, stewardship, affordability, and investment, are the framework that we have going into this session as we think about the legislature's work.
You talk about these three main pillars of policy, and they kind of touch every single aspect of individual Utahns' lives. Can you talk a little bit about that? What specific policies do you see in these pillar categories that is going to start affecting the lives of everyday Utahns?
Well, I think that you'll see almost all of these affects Utahns' lives pretty quickly. That's because these really came from Utahns. But let me just start with one, for example. Let's start with stewardship, where we started earlier. We have seen Utahns do some remarkable things over the last year in the face of this historic drought. And now we've had a lot of snow lately, and let's hope it continues. But the kind of sad news is, even if it does continue like this for 2 or 3 years, we're still going to be coming out of a drought, and we're still going to have water problems. So we've got to keep focused on water conservation and thinking about water differently. You saw record investments, $500 million last year in water conservation. You'll see a similar investment this year so that Utahns can continue to build homes and we can continue to grow as a state, have a place for our kids to live and have water for them, but also changing how we interface with water so we use less of it, so we're more aware of how much water we use. You'll see us continuing to work in that area, for example. And let me just jump to affordability. You have seen the legislature over the last 3 years cut taxes $325 million. My guess is, probably more than a guess, it's a pretty good indication that you're going to see a record tax cut this year. And that will affect every Utahn in the state because they'll be paying less taxes. And we've set aside over $550 million for tax relief. I think that number could get bigger. And the reason that's important is all Utahns are struggling with inflation right now. Our gas bills are bigger. Our grocery bills are bigger. It costs us more to just buy the daily necessities we need. And the best way for the state legislature to help Utahns fight inflation is to have them keep more of their money so they can spend it how they want, not the way we want. Utahns are best able to figure that out for themselves.
Now, in December, the Executive Appropriations Committee set aside $545 million specifically for those tax cuts. Can you talk a little bit about that number and what those tax cuts might look like going into the upcoming session?
That is a great question, and that is a historic number. I mean, I think the biggest tax cut in state history was just a little over $200 million. So a $545 million tax cut, and I think it might even be bigger, would be amazing, and I think a great thing for the state. Well, there's a lot of different taxes we pay. We pay income tax, we pay property tax, we pay sales tax. Those are kind of the big buckets. You'll see conversations about all of those. I think a lot of the focus is going to be on income tax. We have already made some significant changes to other taxes, and that's the one that you'll probably see a lot of energy on. But you'll see conversations about everything. And just as a frame of reference, we've already reduced Social Security taxes for our seniors. We've helped veterans reducing income tax or eliminating income tax in some cases for some of them. And so you're going to see more and more focus on just a broad-based income tax reduction for everybody.
Now, the title of this plan is The Utah Way Together. What does The Utah Way Together mean to you, and why was that chosen as kind of the tagline for this blueprint?
You know, I have the interesting experience, Edward, of traveling around the country and meeting with speakers of the House. In fact, the speakers of the House from around the country are going to be here in Salt Lake as I host them in September. And it is amazing to me. We just do things differently here. We work together in a way that is not modeled very significantly in other states. And that's why we call it the Utah Way. We work really well with our citizens, with the business community, across government, and it's really paid off. It's what's created this state being the fastest growing economy, the fastest state, lowest unemployment rate, highest quality of life, or one of the highest, happiest people in the country. All those things are good indicators that the Utah Way is working. And what we want to do is just continue that effort and continue it moving forward and thinking about the future, not just the past.
Now, there are always controversial issues waiting in the wing during the upcoming legislative sessions. You've been here for a while, and so you kind of know how that process works. You can't always predict what these issues might be, but I might ask you to put on your little forecasting hat for a second and ask you, what do you believe some of those high-profile issues might be that are coming for the legislature?
Yeah, well, we always have some of those. I think you're going to see some interesting conversations about school choice. We saw during the pandemic a lot of parents wanting more flexibility for options of how they might educate their kids. And you'll see Senator Cullimore and Representative Perucci running a bill around school choice. That is controversial, but I think it's an interesting time to have that conversation. It's something personally I'm supportive of. My kids all went to public school, and I think parents are best able to make those decisions for themselves. Another conversation and bill that I'm sure we're going to see is one related to puberty blockers. And what that means is there are individuals at times or youth that want to transition to another gender, and that's a controversial issue. And so you'll see some approaches on that and different lawmakers working on that. So we'll see where that ends up. We've had that conversation up here before. The list kind of goes on and on, but those are just two that came to mind right quick.
And now, for you personally, apart from just these House Majority Caucus pillars, what are some of the biggest priorities for you going into this year's general session?
You know, interestingly, I think a lot of what I care about is what the caucus has told us they care about as well. And I'll give you one that's just very real to me that fits in that affordability category. In our home, we had the great blessing of having our oldest child get married last year, and they're starting their family, or they're, you know, a married couple, want to start a family eventually, and they're finding housing to be shockingly expensive, and it's something that's weighing heavily on them, and as a dad, something that, you know, I'm interested and want to see them succeed in. And we've gone from having one of the most affordable housing markets in the country to one of the least in a very short period of time. We almost have whiplash with how quickly this has happened. And it's affecting not just young people like my newly married daughter and son-in-law and how they're going to ever afford a home, but we're even having employers come to us and say, you know, we're having a hard time recruiting employees to Utah because they can't afford housing. So this is something that we've really got to lean into. And the fundamental challenge we have is there's just not enough supply. And supply is primarily determined at the local level. Local government has the primary responsibility to make sure we have the right kind of housing inventory that the market wants. And quite frankly, it's not happening the way it probably should across the state. So we've got to work closely with local government to get better at this, or we're going to not be able to have our kids living near us. So it's a challenge.
Now, this also isn't your first go at the legislative session. You've been here for a little while. What is one of the things that you personally enjoy most about the legislative session?
Well, I have been here a while. I'm not quite as old as that makes me sound, but there is a lot that I enjoy. And, you know, I love the process. I love watching an idea or a bill that someone has go through this slow kind of iterative process and get refined and get improved. It's remarkable how well it works almost every time. Occasionally it doesn't, and we make mistakes. The other thing I love about this place is we're not afraid to go back and fix it. But probably one of the highlights for me up here during the session is watching the public get engaged. It is an energetic place, watching schools come up here, watching constituents come up and engage in the process. For me, it's one of the things that I think is remarkable and something that benefits us tremendously.
Now, speaking specifically about your own constituents or members throughout the entire state, what are some things that Utahns can expect coming out of the upcoming general session?
Well, we say this a lot, but I think it's worth repeating. We'll have a balanced budget. I believe you're going to have the biggest tax cut in Utah history. You will see us making historic and generational investments in infrastructure, water, transportation, probably energy, and thinking about energy in a new way. Those are maybe some of the big expectations that people should have. Lastly, I think that you will see another year where public education will build on the successes that we've had and have a remarkable year for public education in terms of investment and helping our teachers and our principals and support them in educating our children.
And is there anything else that you would like to communicate to members of the public that might, for the only time that they actually really pay attention to a lot of the state politics is during the legislative session? Is there anything you'd like to communicate to them as we get into the swing of things?
You alluded to it, but I really hope Utahns understand how much the decisions that are made up here impact their daily lives. This is a place where they can have a big influence as constituents and citizens of the state by engaging with their lawmakers. We have 75 House members. We have a lot of House members on purpose so that we have smaller districts so we can be closer to our constituents and really reflect their views. And I hope people will take the opportunity to engage. There's so many ways to do that with their lawmakers.
Is there anything in particular that you are excited about from the session?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I love working with my colleagues, and I know that maybe sounds predictable, but we're just like everyone's neighbors. We are everyone's neighbors up here. I mean, we all just come from wherever little corner of the state we are from, and they're some of the best people I've ever met and worked with up here trying to do their very best, and they serve. You know, Edward, the average length of tenure in the House is less than 6 years. People come up and serve for a relatively short period of time, try to make a difference, and then go home. And it's been really fun to work with people that are trying to do that.
Well, we look forward to seeing exactly what the upcoming legislative session has in store and to see exactly how these policy pillars that the House Majority Caucus has put forward really manifest themselves into policies that affect everyday Utahns.
That's the idea. Thanks so much, Edward.
Thank you, Speaker.